In Zephaniah 3 and 17, that word mighty there means, it is a Hebrew word, gabar, which means an undefeated one, an all-powerful one, and one that rules everything. And He's that kind of God. We are not talking about, we're not talking about your pet preacher or the your favorite ball team. We're talking about the Lord. And with Him, there is no failure, no error. And I'm thankful for that. I know my God can do it. I know my God can do it. We're reading from the book of Romans, chapter number 4. And beginning in verse 16, there's a reason why that I asked them to sing that song. And as we're preaching this morning, we're preaching out of the book of Romans. Romans is a faith book. Romans is a book that's all about faith. Romans is a book about the faithful. Romans is a book that testifies to the value and power of trusting God. Romans is a book that teaches us that a man garners salvation from the Lord, not by works, but by grace through faith. And that even the Old Testament converts, if you will, those patriarchs of the Old Testament were justified by faith. Now we know from the book of James that they were not justified by faith alone, but also by works. For without works, faith is dead, being alone. But faith and works go hand in hand. And Romans and James are not contradictory books. Romans talks about faith. The book of James talks about a faith that works. It doesn't talk about works without faith. Neither does it talk about faith without works, but it talks about a faith that does work. And you prove your faith by your works. Your works exhibit your faith. And this morning we're studying in the book of Romans about that faith. And before we're done with the sermon this morning, we're going to be talking about the exhibition or the demonstration of how that faith works in the lives of the believers. Now we're reading from Romans chapter 4. Stand with us if you would. And we'll begin reading together down in verse number 16 and read to you from the word of the Lord this morning. Romans chapter 4 and in verse number 16. The word of the Lord says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. You understand that if man were redeemed by works, that there would be no grace. If you earn it, then it's not grace. Grace is when God gives a gift to somebody that does not deserve it. If you deserved it, then it wouldn't be grace. And so He says, therefore it is of faith, not of works, it is of faith that it might be by grace, that it might be God's gift unto us. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He can do that because he sees the end from the beginning, because he is not constrained by time nor limited in knowledge. In verse 18, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he may become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I like verses 20 and 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, one preacher said that he had faith in a person who is steadfast. He had faith in a promise that is sure. And he had faith in a power that is strong. And that's right. That'd preach by itself. And being fully persuaded, in verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He does not make promises he can't or won't keep. Amen. And therefore, it was imputed unto him, imputed unto Abraham for righteousness, Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, or for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Verse 21 again, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. In our text verses here, the Apostle Paul is arguing the necessity of redemption and salvation by grace through faith. He argues that even Abraham of the Old Testament was made righteous by grace through faith and not of the labor of his own hands. He gives us the example of Abraham's faith in the promise of God concerning Isaac. And he says that he staggered not at unbelief in verse number 20. Rather, he was fully persuaded God would keep his promise in verse 21. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. This faith, according to our text, was accounted to him for righteousness, and we're justified the same way. By grace through faith, it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And hear me, he said it was not just for Abraham's benefit, but also for us as well, that we may know that it works the same for us, that we are saved by grace through faith. And so Paul teaches us, that the Apostle Paul teaches us, that if Abraham is fully persuaded, that we too won't need to be the same way. And I'm particularly interested in the phrase in verse 19, or rather verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. This phrase, being fully persuaded. Now the Greek root for this phrase is not three words as it's translated into our language, but it's one word. Now I wouldn't attempt to pronounce it. I do good to say the English words. But this one word does mean some things. It means to carry out fully with evidence. You see, God, he not only promises us things, but he carries out his promise fully and completely with evidence, leaving no doubt in the hearts and minds of those that know him that it was God that was at work on our behalf. It means to carry out with full evidence. It means to completely assure or to convince. It means to entirely accomplish. It means to make full proof of. It means to most surely believe and to fully or completely know. So when it says that Abraham was fully persuaded, it entails an awful lot. That he fully or completely knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, without reservation, without concern, that what God had promised he was able also to perform. And he did so, he believed so, according to this terminology, he believed so with evidence. What evidence did he have? Well, he had evidence when God came down and walked among the broken pieces of the animal. He had evidence of how God had touched his heart. He had evidence of how God had called him out of the land of Ur, the Chaldees, and had blessed him as a vagabond, and my friend, as a traveler in this land, and did not have a place to call home, and yet he increased with riches, and gained much land and much wealth, and no matter where he went, God's hand was on him. Evidence day after day after day, he saw God move in his daily life, and he said, if God has kept every promise he's ever given me, then he'll keep this promise as well. And though I've not yet seen it materialize, and I've not yet seen it come to pass, I'll not stumble on this, I'll not stagger at this promise, I'm fully persuaded, I'm absolutely convinced, I completely know that what God said, he's going to do it. Well, bless his name. I want to tell you, that's the way we ought to be about our salvation, friend. Hey, he promised Jesus, and Jesus came. He promised a lamb, and the lamb came. He promised a sacrifice, and the sacrifice was made. He promised, friend, a way of salvation, and it has been given. He promised a home in heaven, and it's surely waiting on us. Hear me, I'm fully convinced. I'm fully persuaded. I absolutely and completely know that what God has promised, He is able also to perform. And he that comes unto Him, the Bible said, Hebrews chapter 11, I believe verse 6 maybe, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm fully persuaded. Oh yes, I believe my God can do it. I'm convinced of it. Hey, I'm trusting Him, believing in Him, counting on Him. I'm asking that I might receive and believe that He can answer. I'm knocking that it might be opened and believing He'll open. I'm seeking to find and believing He'll give. I'm telling you, friend, I'm fully persuaded that God is what He says He is and can do and will do what He promised He's going to do. Amen. And now you can say this is charismatic preaching if you want to at this morning, but God help a bunch of lost back Baptists in our generation that has gotten away from preaching on absolute faith, not blind faith. We don't have to have blind faith. Blind faith believes without a reason. Boy, we got more than plenty enough reason to believe. We don't have blind faith. But rather, we've got saving faith and sustaining faith. Hey, friend, and strengthening faith. Hey, God, I'm fully persuaded. Didn't put my faith in blindly. I put it in a person that's steadfast, a promise that is sure, and a power that is strong. Amen. Oh, yes. And I am fully persuaded. When Paul said Abraham was fully persuaded, he simply was stating Abraham had no doubt that God could and would perform just exactly what He had promised. I'm preaching today on being fully persuaded. Now I've got about a third as much time as I need to tap this subject, and I don't have to preach tonight, so I can preach fast and hard, and it won't make no difference if I'm worn out afterwards. Amen. Oh, so you tune in with us. Now I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast. All right. And so I want to say, first of all, concerning being fully persuaded. First of all, some people will never be persuaded. Some people will never be persuaded. Hear me now. Jesus told a story in the book of Luke in chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, and how that the rich man fared sumptuously every day in fine linen and purple, and how he had the best of everything. And then there was a beggar named Lazarus that sat at the rich man's gate full of sores, and moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And the time came that Lazarus died, and the angels came and carried him off to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment in the flames, and seeing a father Abraham afar off, and said, Father Abraham, I see Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in his flame. But Father Abraham said he couldn't do it. There's a gulf fish, so that we can't come to you, and you can't come to us. But he said then, well, send him back, send Lazarus back to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and tell them to repent, that they wouldn't come to this awful place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. They've got the law and the prophets. They've got the word of God. Let them hear the word of God. But the rich man said, nay, Father Abraham, that they would believe if one had rise from the dead. But Abraham told him, I said in verse 31, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And the rich man believed Lazarus could convince his brothers to get right with God. But Abraham said unto him, there'll be some people that'll never be persuaded. They wouldn't be persuaded if a man rose from the dead. We know that's the truth, don't we, friend? Because
Jesus rose from the dead. And yet are there not many unbelieving? Yet they are many that are not persuaded. Yet are there not many that have rejected Him and would not heed the voice of the Lord? I'm telling you, some people will never be persuaded. And people that are never persuaded, people that are never trust Him, people that are never believe His promise, hell's awaiting for them at the end of this way. An eternal fire, an eternal place of torment. And hey, you don't have to believe in hell to get there. You don't have to believe in hell to go there. You'll go to hell down God and saying there's not a hell, and go all the way to hell saying it's not real. But brother, when you get there, you'll be persuaded and it'll be too late.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Some people in this world will never be persuaded. It's amazing, when I got saved and the Lord called me to preach and put the burden to preach on my life, I mean, I felt like if they could just get me turned loose in front of the right people at the right time, everybody would get saved. I mean, I was fully persuaded, absolutely convinced that I could tell them and what the Lord had done for me, and that they'd have to want to get saved. I didn't take into account the fact that some folks wouldn't believe no matter what you told them. And hey, everybody I've preached to over the years has not been persuaded. Matter of fact, I'd say the vast majority of folks that I've tried to witness to, talk to, and preach to over the years have not been persuaded. You see, everybody ain't going to go to heaven. Everybody's not getting right with God. Most people aren't even going to. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many of there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads in life, and few there be that find it. I want to tell you, some people will never be persuaded. You can't strong arm them into getting saved. You can't make it easy enough for them to get saved. By the way, you don't get to design salvation no how. Salvation's of the Lord. You'll get saved God's way or you'll go to hell. Those are the only options that you have. The preacher don't get to design the plan. The church don't get to set it up. It's God's router as hell. And some people will never be persuaded. Amen. Amen. Some will never be persuaded. Secondly, this morning I want you to know that some will be adversely persuaded. Amen. Some will be persuaded, but they'll be persuaded of what's wrong. They'll be persuaded of a lie. Hear me now. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 20. The scripture's talking about the time whenever Jesus has stood before Pilate, and Pilate agreed to release unto them one prisoner. As it was the custom of the Jews, he thought that they would request that Jesus would be released. But the Bible said in verse 20 of chapter 27 of Matthew, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain shall you release? Shall ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall ye then I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. These men, they were persuaded. They were convinced. They were decided. They were swayed by another. But it was adversely. They might have leaned toward believing Jesus. They saw him when he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They watched him when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, come forth. They heard him, my friend, as he preached the sermon on the mount. And yet when they got done listening to the voice of the scribes and of the elders, they were adversely persuaded.
and said, crucify Jesus and give us Barabbas. Oh, the shame of it is, everybody going to hell, friend, is not somebody that's sat on a bar stool. Everybody going to hell is not somebody that's raised in a drunkard's home. These people going to hell off the pews of Baptist churches with men of God preaching the Word of God and sit every Sunday in the choir and say that they're not persuaded and they have not trusted God and they're on their way to hell. Sure as the world. Amen. Some will be adversely persuaded. Some have sat in the church pews and heard some silver-tongued devil explain to them another route whereby they could go to reach God. Amen. They could have called for Jesus to be freed, but they were adversely persuaded to free Barabbas. They've heard, my friend, the voice of the devils of our age, and they've trusted in water baptism and the signing of their name to a card and to some good work they've done or penance and confession as some fellow that wears a dress and sits in an outhouse. But I'm going to tell you, friend, you'll get saved God's route or you'll never get birth in the family of the Lord. And they've been adversely persuaded. They've been adversely persuaded. Oh, God, have mercy. Many will be persuaded, but they'll experience strong delusion. They'll believe a lie and be damned. Amen. Is that not what the Scriptures teach us in 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12, that the Lord sent unto them strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned because they would not believe the truth? I'm going to tell you, friend, that's where so much of our world is. They're riding bicycles to their legs wear off, to nubs, knocking my friend on doors and passing out literature to try to work their way into 144,000 that they believe are going to heaven or to try to inherit the earth. That they've repeat after me as some little prayer that some Baptist preacher has some deceived lying devil himself has told them will get them in the family of God, and then said to them afterwards, now don't worry, you couldn't go to hell if you tried, and they've never even been saved. And they lived their lives, my friend, believing a lie in strong delusion. And they've been convinced, but they've never been converted. They're convinced of something that's wrong. I'm telling you, one fellow said, doesn't really matter what you believe, long as you believe something. That's the stupidest thing anybody could say. It absolutely makes a difference what you believe. I tell you, friend, hey, a man could believe he was a rooster. Wouldn't make him grow feathers, amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, you better be fully persuaded of the Lord that He's able to perform His promise, that He's able to save your soul, that He'll wash your sins away. I tell you, that's what will make the difference. You better get fully persuaded. That's why it matters so much what we preach. Do you hear me? Both the church and the preachers too, listen to what I'm preaching. It matters so much what we preach. People are listening and eternity hangs in the balance. Amen. We're not dealing with the Dow Jones Industrial, and we're not dealing with your savings account or your retirement fund. And that we're not dealing with a ball game and to some social event. I'm telling you, at the house of God, we're dealing with eternity. And this thing is bigger than any one individual. It's bigger than any church. It's bigger than some preacher's career. It's bigger, my friend, than a pat on the back and pleasing somebody. Hey, we better preach. Thus saith the Word of God. Hey, listen, it's not only important to preach the truth from the Word of God. It's important to preach the truth as led by the Spirit of God. Would you hear what I'm preaching? It's one thing to preach all the parts of the Bible you like. It's another thing to preach everything in the Bible that God sends. And I want to be found faithful to preach the whole counsel of God. And men might know that Jesus is the only way. It's not up to you and me to pick and choose what parts of the Bible we like and don't like. Not up to us. You don't get to make that call. Amen. Some are adversely persuaded by the smiley preachers and the charismatic boys, the super duper fellows that would tell you all the things you want to hear and nothing you need to hear. And my friend, I want you to know there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun, and there's repentance that must be made if you want to make heaven your home. Amen? That's exactly right. Repentance is a change of attitude that brings about a change of action towards the way, the will, and the work of God. It is an about face. If you've never been saved, if you've never changed, you've never been repented, you've never repented, and if you've never repented, you've never been saved. So don't tell me how saved you are while you're still living just like you did before you ever said you met the Lord. You've been persuaded, but you've been adversely persuaded. And you're living with a false hope. And my feeling, when you lift your eyes up in hell, it'll be too late then to deal with it. Amen. Some will never be persuaded. Some will be adversely persuaded. Gotta hurry. Some will be almost persuaded. Some will be almost persuaded. Amen. In Acts chapter number 26, the Apostle Paul testified to King Agrippa, and Festus even accused Paul of being crazy. He said, "So much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, that speak forth the words of truth and life and the soberness rather." And hear me, but Paul's testimony was so compelling that Agrippa said in verse 28, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." As far as we know, Agrippa was never fully persuaded. He died almost persuaded, and almost persuaded is altogether lost. There's a lot of folks that just about believes, that's almost persuaded, that will accept part of God's truths. But until you get fully persuaded, until you believe He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that seek Him, I'm telling you, until then, until you have no doubts, and you trust in Jesus, until you let go of the world, and depend on the Lord, you'll die almost persuaded and find hell eternally. Some will be almost persuaded. Acts 24, the Apostle Paul is testifying, and he reasoned with Felix of meekness and of temperance and of grace and of mercy. Isn't that right? And the Bible said that Felix looked at him in verse 25 and told Paul, "Go thy way this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." He was almost persuaded. How many folks, maybe even today, sitting on the church pew, and the Holy Ghost gripping their heart, and are telling them, "Today's your day. You better get it right with God." Maybe even you know that it's right, but you're saying in your heart, "Go thy way, at a more convenient season, I'll call for thee. Wait until I get older. Wait until I sow my oats. Wait until Christmas Sunday. Wait until Easter comes about. Wait until so-and-so's here. A convenient season to repent and get right with God never comes along. You better get saved when God's a calling. You don't call on God when you decide. Hey friend, you call on God to get saved while He's calling. It's in His season or it's not season. You'll get saved when God decides, or you'll never be saved. At a more convenient season, Felix said, "I'll call for you." Best we understand, Felix never called for Paul again. I'm going to tell you, you could spurn the grace of God so many times that you'll never have to worry about Him dealing with you anymore. My spirit will not always strive with man. No man cometh unto me except my Father which has sent me. Draw him. Hey, you know how you repent? The goodness of God leadeth man to repentance. Do you know what it is to be of a reprobated mind? Some, when they had known God, or rather were known of God, glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, and God turned them over after their own lust, allowed them to do what they would, and never dealt with their hearts again, and turned them, my friend, to reprobate, which means rejected or cast out, and they could have never got saved if they wanted to. I'm telling you, friend, when God's dealing with your heart, you better get saved when God calls on you. Don't try to put that off. Some will be almost persuaded. But I'm thankful that though some will never be persuaded, some will be adversely persuaded, some will be almost persuaded, there will be a few. Few there be that find it, but I'm glad that there is a few. I'm glad God didn't say nobody's getting in. He said there will be a few that will find it. Oh yes, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in, don't you? I mean, I want to be in that number, friend. There'll be but a few, but I want to be a part of the chosen few. A few will be fully persuaded. Some will be fully persuaded. Paul, the writer of our text, was fully persuaded. And he was sufficiently persuaded to be able to persuade others. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, if you'll really get fully persuaded, first thing you'll want to do is try to persuade somebody else. And you'll have enough persuasion about you that you can also persuade them. Well, what about that? You don't believe what I'm preaching to you? All right. Let's look into the Word of the Lord. That way you won't look at me cross-eyed. Amen. Paul persuaded others. Paul persuaded others. He persuaded men other gods were false. Acts 19:26, moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. The apostle Paul said, fellas, if you just knew what is a living in here, you'd quit worshiping them that you have. And he persuaded those idol worshipers that God was real and the idols were false. And he said they turned from idols to serve the living God. Amen. He was so persuaded that he persuaded others. He persuaded men that God, other gods were false. He persuaded men to continue in the faith of God. Acts 13:43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. You know what preaching's all about this morning? It's about one, me persuading you that there's no other God beside Him. And secondly, it's me persuading you who have trusted in the Lord to continue in the grace of God. That's what Paul did. That's what I'm trying to do. If there's anything I want to persuade others to do, has to trust God and to keep on trusting. He was persuaded. And so he persuaded others. He was persuaded. And so he was persuaded by others. The Apostle Paul was influenced and convinced and persuaded by others. I don't mean he was easily swayed. Oh, no. I just mean there were some other people that were so persuaded that they persuaded Paul too. Isn't that right? If you'll ever get saved, you'll know the difference in the real thing and a bunch of phony baloneyism. And there'll be some people that's got the real stuff that'll persuade you. I know some folks, they don't believe in nobody. Ain't nobody right but them and Jesus. And ain't nobody going to heaven but them and the Lord. And it's going to be a mighty lonely place, I guess, when they get there, because they think they're the only ones going. But I'm telling you, if you'll ever really get right with God, there'll be some other folks the Lord will put in your life, and you'll be fully persuaded that they're fully persuaded. Amen. They'll sway your opinion and persuade you of the faith that is in them. From the Scripture we learned that. He was persuaded by the dependable lay member. It ain't just preachers, buddy, that I'm convinced is saved. afraid. I'm glad I know some good lay people in the churches, some good church members that have convinced me that they know the Lord in a special way. I'm glad God don't just save preachers. We wouldn't have nobody left to preach to now, would we? But I'm glad God saves people, and that a lay member on the pew can be just as spirit-filled as a man of God can.
Romans 15 and 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
He said there's some people on the pews that's got God in their lives.
He was persuaded by the dependable lay member. He was persuaded by the trustworthy minister. Persuaded by the trustworthy minister, 2 Timothy 1 and 5. Well, he said to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Paul told Titus to hold fast the word as he had been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. If you'll persuade others, friend, you must first be fully persuaded within yourself without wavering, and then the steadfastness of your faith will also persuade others. Our text tells us of Abraham, who was fully persuaded, and that this of faith was recounted to him or imputed to him for righteousness. And he said it was not just written for his sake, but also for us. Why? That it might persuade us to be fully persuaded, to be convinced, to trust in God. How about that? Is everybody with me this morning? Paul was fully persuaded. He was so persuaded, he persuaded other men. He was so persuaded, he was persuaded by other men. He was persuaded fully. He was persuaded fully of the power of God's love. If you've still got your Bibles open in Romans 8, turn over a few chapters with me. Romans chapter 4 is where we're reading. I want you to turn over a few chapters to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, just a couple of pages over. This is what the Apostle Paul was convinced of or persuaded of. Chapter 8, he was convinced or persuaded of the power of God's love. Look at what it says in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And listen to what he said in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you, he was fully persuaded of the power of God's love. Can I tell you, I'm persuaded that his love has power to save, power to sustain, power to strengthen, power to see us through. I'm going to tell you, I'm persuaded of the power of the love of God can change the lives of people. I'm convinced that there's not a sinner God can't save because of the power of his love. I'm fully persuaded of that. He was fully persuaded of the power of God's love. He was fully persuaded of the power of God's grace. In 2 Timothy 2 and 12, he said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded by the power of grace. I'm convinced I could not save myself. I'm also convinced that I cannot keep myself. Oh, but that don't have me running around with one foot in hell and another on a banana
scalp peeling, rubbing my head till my hair falls out, drinking Maalox and eating Rolaids and worrying about everything, because I'm persuaded that God can do what I cannot. When I couldn't save myself, He saved me. And when I can't keep myself, He keeps me. And all He wants me to do is to be fully persuaded, to trust in Him, lean on Him, depend on Him, to keep His promises, and He'll surely do what He said He would. I'm convinced of that. The power of God's grace. I'm trusting in Him. Now, you trust in what you want to. That'll be between you and the Lord, but judgment day, the only thing to be worth trusting in will be the Lord. Because you can't do nothing yourself. Amen. Paul persuaded others. Paul was persuaded by others. Paul was persuaded fully. I want to say Paul testified of those who were fully persuaded. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, he speaks of all of the people, my friend, in the Old Testament. And he says of them, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. And because they were persuaded of them, what they do? They embraced them. And they confessed. By the way, that's what you do when you get saved, ain't it? You get persuaded, you embrace it, and then you confess it. That's what being born again is, isn't it? Woo! Didn't even see that till I got up here to preach. Thank the good Holy Ghost. And we're persuaded of them, embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And ever since we've been saved, we too have been strangers. Pilgrims, we don't belong here. We're just here for a temporary stay. Oh, but just as persuaded as I am, just as convinced as I am that He saved me, I'm also that persuaded, that convinced, that certain that He's coming back again to receive us unto Himself. That where He is, there we may be also. I'm persuaded He's coming back in like manner in the clouds as they saw Him go into heaven. And He's coming for me. And what a day it's going to be. Oh, what a time when we see His face. I tell you, I'm persuaded. Hey, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But I do know when He shall appear, we shall be like unto Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I have this hope in myself and purify myself even as also He is pure, John said. I want to tell you, thank God I am persuaded and I'm trusting in Him. He made the promise and He'll bring it to pass. Well. My question is this morning, are you fully persuaded? Fully persuaded. Well, I'm out of time and out of strength. I ain't out of preaching, but I'm out of time and I'm out of strength. My question for you is, are you fully persuaded? Are you fully persuaded? Be very carefully told us in Hebrews, lest in any of you there be an evil heart of unbelief. Are you absolutely convinced of God's promise? Are you resting in the peace there is in trusting God? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, how I trust Him. Are you fully persuaded this morning? Come on with a song, please. Maybe there's somebody here. I say that. I shouldn't say it that way. I'm persuaded there are people here that have never known the Lord. I'm persuaded there are people here that do not know the blessing and benefit of being saved. I'm persuaded there's more than one. I'm persuaded there are people here this morning who have been saved, but in your heart there resides a seed of an evil heart of unbelief. You're battling problems and struggles and difficulties and depressions. And in your mouth you say, I believe God and I'm trusting the Lord and going to count on the Lord. But down deep in your heart, there's a seed of unbelief. You say, I know my God can do it. And you sing with them and clap your hands and say, that's right. But then when it comes time for Him to do it in your life, you're just not altogether fully persuaded. Am I touching home now? When it's easy whenever everybody else is going through it to say, well, why don't you just trust God? But what about when it hits your life? Are you fully persuaded? Job will curse you to your face, Lord. If you just wouldn't be so good to him. The Lord said, no, Job won't. Everybody thought Job would, but Job didn't. Reckon why you hadn't faced what Job did? Reckon the Lord knows that you would? Reckon the reason why he has to withhold those things from you that he could bring glory in out of your life is because he knows you're not absolutely and fully persuaded? What about it? Are you absolutely convinced? It's amazing how the smallest things will rock our world. It ain't because that we're mentally unstable. It's not because we don't have enough blessings. We got so much now, we're spoiled rotten. It's because we're not fully persuaded. And hey, they ain't no use this morning in thinking I must be a sorry low-down dog because the preacher's preaching to me and I'm not fully persuaded and I know I'm saved, but for some reason I've got doubt in my heart and I must be a dog. I don't want you to think that at all. You know what the man told Jesus when he said, if you believe, I'll heal you, son. Do you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. The Lord didn't chew him out for not believing right like he should, for having limited faith. You know what he did? He healed his son. Because a man come to him in honesty and said, Lord, I do believe. But I've got to tell you the truth. There's some unbelief. There's some doubt in my heart and my life. And all I know to do is confess that like I would any other sin and beg you to help me with mine unbelief. No use in you acting pious this morning, act like you're fully persuaded if there's a seed of doubt somewhere. That's right. The thing to do is confess it before the Lord and say, God, help thou mine unbelief. Would you stand? Maybe you need to come this morning. There's people in the house that needs to do business with God. Some that need to be saved, others that need to pray. Wish you'd come.
When I first began to talk with the Lord, I did not fully trust Him.
Are you fully persuaded?
Oh, how He longed for me to know.
He'll keep His promise. He'll keep His word.
That I
could. He's interested in your situation. He knows how to handle
your
problems.
So through the valley,
He likes to work when nothing else will.
He gently led me. Afraid as I could be,
some of you needs to pray.
Until I felt His loving arms.
Don't go home dragging that thing that's giving you so much trouble. Bring it to the Lord and cast your cares on Him. He cares for you.
And I've been through enough.
I know
to know He'll be enough.
He's enough for my doubts and my shortcomings, my faults, my failures, my problems.
He's come
don't
through
carry
too
by
many times that puts
to.
My mind
at trust Him, trust Him.
For
trust
good.
Him.
And I'll stake my very life. He's
you
gonna
surely
take
don't have to leave lost today.
Me.
Oh, my Lord. No need to walk
I've
out of this place still on your way to hell.
To know He'll be enough for me.
Would you come?
How could I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And how could I ever question His ability? Where there's no place that I can go, where He doesn't know all those things that trouble me. He's always aware of right where I am and just what I need. And I believe Him now, 'cause after all these years, He's been faithful, He's proven to be true. And evermore will I doubt or question why. 'cause I've been through before, and I know what God can do. Oh, I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life, He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Yes, I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me.
When I need someone to talk to, He's all I need. When I need someone to talk to, He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call Him. Every need He will supply, my thirsty soul He'll satisfy. He's my everything and He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, feels my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything and He's all I need.